your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Let's start, as we always do, with some headlines you need to know. The Chicago Bulls have fired GM Gar Forman on Monday after 10 years in the role, 22 years with the team. Let's face it, this is not surprising at all. Remember, the Bulls confirmed the hiring of Denver Nuggets GM Arturis Karnasovas last week as the franchise executive VP of basketball operations. At this point, we know that they're going to basically start this whole process over for the NBA. So the first step of what we expect to be many has come, as the Bulls have now fired their GM Monday. We'll see what the next domino to fall is. Next on the headlines, as the NBA waits until May to formally reassess its shutdown due to the coronavirus pandemic, Commissioner Adam Silver has encouraged all the league employees to present ideas and concepts for a potential return to play. So interesting that he's going out to everybody and saying, give us your best ideas. In that vein, various executives and team medical personnel have been discussing possible protocols. One of the ideas proposed is a 25-day program for players to go through before they resume gameplay. Remember, we're just presuming that everybody can step right in, play again. We don't know that that is the case. And last, on the headlines you need to know, NASCAR driver Kyle Larson has been suspended indefinitely by NASCAR and without pay for using a racial slur on a live stream during a virtual race. The star driver said there was, quote, no excuse for his comment, apologized in a video posted on his social media account where he said, I made a mistake, said the word that should never, ever be said. There is no excuse for that. I wasn't raised that way. It's just an awful thing to say. I feel very sorry for my family, my friends, my partners, the NASCAR community, and especially the African-American community. So at this point, Kyle Larson, rightfully so, suspended indefinitely by NASCAR without pay as the fallout for using a racial slur during a virtual race. Those are the headlines you need. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. Happy Monday. I know it doesn't feel like Monday, but again, we're going to remind you every day what day of the week it is on this show, and we're going to have a little fun. It's Monday. You're working from home. You're trying to figure out how to break the monotony of it up a little bit. We have a lot to talk about today involving Dak Prescott and a party that took place over the weekend at Dak's house. The Dallas police were called to the party. There was no confirmation that any social distancing rules were violated. There's conflicting reports. Some say there were 30 people there. Some say there were less than 10 people there. We don't know the exacts of it, but we're going to have a little bit of fun. I want your take. What NFL players' quarantine party do you want the invite to? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What NFL player has one last invite left for their under 10 people quarantine party that would still be socially distanced in a proper way, and you want to get that last invite? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you chime in. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll have a little bit of fun. We'll get a little reaction to that. Now, that does bring up a serious conversation, so let's get to some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, just $45 a month, saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. The Straight Talk came first from Max and Stephen A. today as they reacted to the news of Dak Prescott having some sort of gathering at his house.
I'm incredibly disappointed in Dak Prescott, and here's the reason why. We are in a situation, we're in a national crisis right now, a global crisis, to be quite honest with you. A whole bunch of people are dealing with this. You have executive orders from the governor. I understand that it may not have been 30, as some people have reported. It may have been 10 or whatever the case may be. But if you're Dak Prescott, who's obviously vying to be arguably the highest paid player in football and what have you, and you see what sports leagues are having to deal with at this particular moment in time, why would you put yourself in a situation like that to have headlines like that being circulated all over the place? Why would you do that? The National Football League obviously hasn't been drastically affected in terms of games themselves because this all happened during their offseason. The draft is going to be affected. The NFL is going to lose money because of that. Obviously, the networks publicizing it, like us, ESPN, is going to lose money because of that. We get all of that. But in terms of optics, when you look at Major League Baseball, when you look at the NBA and other sports leagues and the challenges that they're being faced with, you look at ESPN ultimately imploring Dana White and the UFC to postpone their event because you want to adhere to the social distancing mandate that has come down from our government officials. When you have a football player that's out there, it gives the impression that he's tone deaf, which ultimately forces others to think, as a league, you might be tone deaf moving forward with a lot of different things. And those are the kind of things that can ultimately derail the prospects that you're hoping to have moving forward of having a season and engaging to something close to normalcy. Max, myself, and others, we obviously know that's a very daunting task, to say the least. It's probably not going to happen. As Max has religiously said, let's be responsible. Let's make sure that we're putting the right level of information out there and we are disseminating the right message as it pertains to the importance of social distancing, upgrading tests, expediting that process, ultimately finding a vaccine. We get all of that. But as a player, understanding the multitude of challenges that are out there for all of us right now, to engage in that kind of social gathering at a time like this is the height of stupidity, which I never would have associated Dak Prescott with under any circumstances. And it's incredibly disappointing that he wasn't sensitive enough to recognize that now is not the time for stuff like that. Because if you are a football player, if you're in the public eye, you have a whole bunch of idiots out here having coronavirus parties and all of this other nonsense. How is this going to dissuade them? It's going to contribute to elevating that level of stupidity. And I thought that he should have been more responsible in terms of taking all of that into account before he even thought about doing something like that. And once again, when we talk about stupidity, when we talk about doing things that are foolhardy, somehow, some way, Ezekiel Elliott ends up in a picture as well. Albeit to no fault of his own, bottom line is, or the minimal fault of his own, he's still in the picture. I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you here, Stephen A. Like, this is a debate show, but sometimes we're just on the same page about it. Trying to think of why they would have a get-together. Unless someone is misinformed or else not smart enough to understand the seriousness of the situation and thinks that large social gatherings are okay. And look, I know we're like counting the French fries, right? How many people does that feed? Let's just assume it's 10 or fewer, okay? So he's within the law. It's not about breaking the law. It's about,
thank you,
really stopping the spread of the disease. So when you, and you're talking about the optics of it and how Ezekiel Elliott shows up in it. So Stephen A., I'm trying to think of what was on his mind. Let's assume the best. Let's not assume the worst and think that, and assume that he does think it's a big deal, Dak, and wants to be responsible. What's on his mind? Why get people who aren't in your nuclear family together in the same room who don't have to be, right? And then I think maybe, you know, who do you think of as family? That makes a difference. So, for example, I have three little girls. I think nothing about being around them, right? We're in the same house. So that's fine. But sometimes is your cousin immediate family? No, not exactly. Yeah, but you see them all the time. Maybe you live together. Is your teammate immediate family? You have to draw the line. Because the problem is, since every human being can be a vector for the disease, and it's highly contagious, and the people are asymptomatic. They don't know that they're sick while they're contagious. If there are, let's say, 10 people in that house and they all go back to their actual families and there are three or four people at least in each house, then the chance for infection spreads, it raises, and it spreads. This is the issue with it. It spreads geometrically or exponentially, right? It's not just that you're thinking, well, I won't catch it, or this other person won't catch it. Someone may not know they have it, and then they spread it to everyone when they go home, right? Whoever's in that house.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. And look, there are a lot of important things to be said here. Number one, as the guys pointed out, there's an incredible risk, and we've been talking about it even in prepping this show, that you know, the risk that people take in these situations is it's impossibly difficult to wrap your head around why somebody would decide to do that. Honestly, when you're talking about Dak Prescott, you're also talking about somebody with the level of platform and fandom that has to also understand that what he does is going to be scrutinized at a different level. That comes with the platform that he has. So you look at all of these variables, and it creates a true serious conversation to have about why anybody would choose to go to anybody's house or anybody would choose to have anybody over. That being said, we're going to have some fun with it because what else can we do? We're going to enjoy a little of it. Which NFL players' quarantine party would you want to be invited to? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I give you the qualifier on it because I understand the gravity of the situation. However, in the world that we're in right now, if we can have a little bit of escapism and a little bit of fun, let's take it. So I don't need a lecture from anybody on why we shouldn't even be joking about it. We all understand the gravity of this situation. Getting a lot of tweets on it. We'll read some of those tweets. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. We'll get to all of that, but that wasn't the only conversation they had about Dak today. Fact is, Marcus Spears, Big Swagoo, came on and joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about Dak, and Marcus did not hold back his words when he talked about Dak's decision to hold a party in this environment.
The disrespect to do this and recognize that people that have to presumably take care of you after these dumb social gatherings that you should not be having, by the way, is the one that really irks me and rubs me the wrong way. And people can say you being too serious and too, listen, there are two things I tell people all the time. My sister's a police officer. I want her to come home every day. And when you, now that we're dealing in this pandemic and we see nurses and doctors not only concerned about themselves, not only concerned about the patients, but concerned about their families and who they possibly could to transport this disease to. This is just dumb. It's dumb and it's totally disrespectful with what we have going on right now in this country. And that's it. That's entirely who my mind goes to, is the people that's going to have to take care of these dummies that won't follow the guidelines that's being put out there to try to keep people safe.
Yeah, especially when those very people who have to take care of you, Swagoo, are the ones imploring you to exercise that level of restraint because they know how you know how suffocated they are. So it's not just the government that's speaking to you. It's them telling you, please be careful. Please be sensitive to this. We're working in these hospitals. This is what we have to deal with. I had the mayor's office reach out to me in New York City asking me to do a PSA. The governor's office reached out to ESPN to ask me to do a PSA. New York Presbyterian Hospital. You know what? I did a PSA for them where you got 50,000 plus employees that are putting their lives on the line trying to help keep us all safe. All of these things have been publicized. It's not just me. It's a whole bunch of people. It's Max. It's Molly. It's our contemporaries, our colleagues in the business. It's professional athletes, coaches. Bill Belichick did a PSA for crying out loud. Everywhere you turn, you've got people disseminating the same message. And I'm going to go here, Swagoo. Why? Because it's me and because I can. And Max, you can relate to this. Historically, what have we been battling as black people for the black quarterback? What have they been saying? They've been talking about the black quarterback for decades upon decades upon decades. And we've been knocking down and chopping down those barriers year after year, decade after decade. And then we've got a quarterback in Dak Prescott, highly intelligent, I might add, that has engaged himself in one of the stupidest acts that I can think of. It does not matter to me, Molly, whether it's 30 or it's 10. The fact that you would feel comfortable at this particular moment in time to have all that food with all of those bodies around that don't live in your home suddenly gathered in the same place is the height of stupidity. Congratulations, Dak Prescott. You actually pulled it off. I think you took us back a little bit personally. It's just stupid.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Hard to disagree with anything Stephen A. is saying. By the way, we're brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. This is what's difficult. You know, we've talked so much on the show over the course of the last week about the fact that I can't stress this enough. In my mind, it makes a lot of sense right now for people to be changing their ideas and their minds on things day to day. Why? Because we get new information every single day. We learn more about COVID-19, but we also learn more about what medical professionals are finding out every single day. So I have no problem with people coming in and changing their mindset day in and day out about where things are because you're gathering information. That being said, the one thing that we're all trying to do is figure out what the future looks like. And the great line for so many of us is trying to figure out whether to take a positive or negative slash realist approach to that future. I mean, is there a real shot that there aren't sports in fall? Well, there may be. We don't know. But what we've talked about is how do you continue to look at it? Do you look at it through the view of positivity, or do you look at it through a view of negativity? Well, through all of those conversations you have to have about the future, the one thing that we have to understand is that while we can't control the future and we have no idea what's coming, we can control the right now. How do we do it? We do it by making incredible sacrifice for many people. Look, this is about, you know, safety. This is about awareness. This is about understanding platform. It's about understanding importance. And I'm not going to hold Dak to any different standard than I held college football coaches. When I was on Golic and Wingo last week, one of the things I talked about was that college football coaches are, you know, held to a higher standard for what they say during this pandemic because more people are listening to them. And that's why you see PSAs being done by people that have large platforms and huge audiences. So how many of Dak's fans learn from this that, hey, my quarterback's partying, so it's okay if I party too? You know, that's part of what you have to understand we're trying to figure out how to deal with. Now, does that mean that everybody has agreement on how we should be dealing with it? Everybody has agreement on what social distancing means? No. You have to make a personal decision for what you're comfortable with, but you also have to try and hold the people around you to enough of a standard that you can realize through all of it, at some point, you have to realize that what we're trying to do is stop the spread for everybody. Do we want football in the fall? Yes. Do we want life in the fall? Do we want concerts? Do we want movies? Yes, we want everything to return to normal. How do we at least give ourselves the best opportunity to make things return to normal? By living outside the realm of normalcy now. It's an important part of the message for everybody. We have to understand that while we can't control whether this thing is going to go one direction or the other necessarily, what we can do is do our best to control it. And the best way that we can control it is by doing what people smarter than all of us are telling us to do. Social distancing. It's very simple. So just like we sat back and made fun of all the college kids that didn't seem to care about it and went to the beach in Florida, we're also going to step back and say, what the hell are you thinking to guys like Dak Prescott? You got to understand in this situation right now. The other part of it is it has a long-term effect to the team. Look at what the Jazz are dealing with and the fact that Rudy Gobert was so flippant with everything. That has caused a rift in the relationship that we'll get into throughout the course of the show. But that rift in the relationship is real, and it means something between Rudy Gobert and his teammates moving forward. If, God forbid, Dak Prescott holds a party that, God forbid, forces the, or allows this to spread to a group of people, how many people are going to look at Dak? How many of his teammates that were there are going to look at Dak and say, what the hell are you doing? How many teammates that weren't there are going to look at Dak and say, what the hell are you thinking? Like, these are the moments you have to think five steps beyond yourself. You have to think five steps beyond the moment that you're in. And you have to ask yourself about, as we've heard many politicians say, risk versus reward. What's the risk that they put themselves in by having an event versus what reward do they get from it? That's the most difficult part of this. As much as we want normalcy, what's the risk versus reward for getting that normalcy? And how many of us yesterday with our family or our friends were on some sort of a Blue Jeans chat or a Zoom chat, and you're talking to people and trying to pretend that you have some normal life? You're trying to drink in 10 different states. You're trying to share a meal from across an internet screen. It's not normal for any of us. But it's important, if we want to get back to normal, that we do the best that we can do. Dak Prescott didn't do that. And it's okay for all of us to be holding the quarterback of a football team with a huge level of celebrity to a high standard. It's what I would do for anybody with a platform he has that isn't using it. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Now that we've had all of that deep conversation about it, we'll have a little fun with it too. I mean, there's got to be some point where we laugh about it. So I've asked you guys to chime in. What NFL player, past or present, would you want to be invited to a quarantine party? And we've gotten a bevy of answers on people as they're looking at it. A lot of past. Albie comes in and says Brett Favre. We've had several votes for Odell Beckham Jr. Nick says all time Steve Mongo McMichael from the 85 Bears. Jimmy says Mark Ingram because big trust. Marshawn Lynch is Eric's choice, getting a lot of Gronk and Peyton Manning votes. I feel like Peyton would make a lot of sense because he would be organized and disciplined enough to have X's in his home and make sure that everybody was keeping some level of social distance. We'll try and have a little fun with it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You guys can chime in on it. Let's have a little fun and get a little laugh in on this Monday edition of First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. In the meantime, though we may not go number one, he's easily the most talked about draft pick. We'll discuss where he might land, and we'll do it next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're taking your take throughout the course of the day. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Feel free to chime in as we move along. We're going to get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it comes, and the one, let's say that it's the most talked about portion of the NFL draft. And this is funny to me. And I genuinely mean funny because we basically know who the first overall pick in the draft is going to be. It's going to be by all expectation. We've sort of slept on Chase Young because Chase Young is who he is. Tua Tagovailoa has become the most talked about draft prospect because he's the hardest to pinpoint, because we know the least about what we need to know the most about in order to be comfortable with wherever his standing is in the draft. That's why Tua has become sort of an obsessive topic for the NFL draft. And frankly, everything we see in the first couple of hours of coverage is going to be largely discussed around Tua Tagovailoa in just 10 days. With that being said, Dan Orlovsky joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about Tua Tagovailoa after Tua's conversation with Mike Locksley on Instagram. And it's all about whether or not the Patriots should want to get involved.
Believe it or not, I would say the New England Patriots. I would say the Miami Dolphins, but they have the number five pick, so that's just my mentality. I don't need to think about a top five team right now. I look at the New England Patriots because, you know, you've got the number 23 overall pick, if I remember correctly, plus you've got two compensatory picks that you can add into the equation. I don't know if that would be enough to move up to get somebody the quality of Tua, but I'm just thinking in terms of a team, an ideal situation for him. Again, his skills are not an issue. The issue for him is his durability. That's about it. Well, guess what? Tom Brady made a career getting rid of the ball inside of 2 seconds, if I remember correctly, Dan Orlovsky. You can educate me on that, but he's known for getting rid of the ball relatively quickly. Last time I checked, Josh McDaniel, his offensive coordinator, is still in New England. Bill Belichick is still in New England. And if they could get Tom Brady to get rid of the ball relatively quickly, they can certainly get Tua to do that as well. That combined with his ability to throw the football with accuracy, fresh off of completing 71% of his passes as a star quarterback at Alabama this past season, I think that you could ultimately do some things. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Please don't get me wrong, because if I'm a team, I wouldn't give up the opportunity to get him. If I was, you know, anywhere from three on down in the draft, I would not give up the opportunity to grab Tua if I needed a quarterback. But in the event that a team is fortunate enough to be able to pull this off, I'm thinking about the system the New England Patriots have, the coaching, Bill Belichick, his close relationship with Nick Saban. I'm trying to tell y'all, HBO's Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, The Art of Coaching. Y'all need to watch that. That was a special, special program. You'll learn a lot about how these guys think and what great coaches think like. I think that you can learn some things. They obviously have a very, very close relationship spanning decades. They're very familiar with one another. Obviously, Nick Saban coaching Tua, that would facilitate a smooth transition to a Bill Belichick, along with that system, along with the willingness to protect the quarterback by helping him get rid of the ball more expeditiously. I think those things will work for Tua, and I think Tua's talents will work for Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniel. I'd love to see New England pull that off. Don't think they will, but I'd love to see it.
I don't see it happening, and I don't think that's the Patriot way, Stephen A. That, you know, Bill Belichick does not reach in the draft for quarterbacks. He finds value. That's why Tom Brady was a sixth round pick. Where was Stidham drafted? Not in the first round. He'll find value. Garoppolo was kind of a high draft pick for them, second round pick, and not high up. You know, that's not the Patriot way. I think it's actually much more likely that if Detroit takes Tua, maybe they trade Stafford to the Patriots, something like that, if the Patriots were going after a name. I think the team that should trade for Tua is, in fact, the team you mentioned, the Miami Dolphins. They have three first-round picks and two second-round picks, and they're kind of loaded on the low. They need a quarterback, and they need a young quarterback who can grow with the team. And if you have three first-round picks, it's probably only going to cost you two of them to move up two spots in the draft to make sure you get your guy, assuming, you know, Washington doesn't take him, which I think is a fair assumption. Tua in Miami makes all the sense in the world. And by the way, Who was he compared to by Trent Dilfer recently among Aaron Rodgers, among others? Dan Marino, in terms of his arm talent. It's been a long time since the Miami Dolphins had a quarterback like that with that kind of high-end talent. And given the kind of talent they've stockpiled and the draft picks they would still have, I think it makes all the sense in the world for him to go to Miami, where the AFC East now seems at least to be up in the air more than it's been in like 20 years.
I agree with Max. The obvious answer is the Miami Dolphins. Number one, the Miami Dolphins are the same organization that, I don't know, like 12 years ago, maybe 10 years ago plus, passed on the opportunity to bring Drew Brees in because they were fearful of that shoulder injury. And they've been searching for Drew Brees ever since. So they don't want to have that bug bite them twice. Number two, I've been adamant that Tua needs to sit, that Tua needs to redshirt in this 2020 NFL season. And when you look at Chris Greer, their general manager in Miami, and then Brian Flores, their head coach, neither of them have the pressure to win right now. Coming off of an unexpected successful season last year and the long-term contract and the good things that are happening in Miami, they don't have to force Tua on the field right away where, you know, if they're struggling as a football team and they're 1-3 or something like that, they're not going to feel the pressure of, well, we got to get that young quarterback on the field right now, because I'm adamant that Tua needs to sit and develop his game and just get physically healthy and not get rushed back onto the field. And then the third thing is this. They traded away Minkah Fitzpatrick last year, a good player, for a first-round pick. And they traded away Laremy Tunsil, a good player, for a first-round pick. The Dolphins didn't trade away good players to just go take those picks and draft good players. They traded away those players to get picks to make sure they got the player that they wanted.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Some straight talk right there. Straight talk wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart, from Dan Orlovsky. The Dolphins make a lot of sense. Remember, they spent $131 million the first day of free agency. If anything, they also, by trading up to try and acquire Tua Tagovailoa, ensure that nobody else does acquire Tua Tagovailoa, which would be a boom for them. But also, they've got to be looking at the window being open in the division when there's no Brady finally. So you do whatever you have to do to take advantage of this one opportunity. That's the thing with Tua. And I'll say this loudly for everybody. We're going to look back in 10 years on the Tua Tagovailoa decision, and we're going to forget the context of it. Context matters here. Anybody that passes on Tua, I wouldn't question them. If you had to risk your entire job and your ability to feed your family on a player that, frankly, your medical staff isn't going to get to view, they're not going to get to take a look at the hip or the two surgically repaired ankles or the thumb. I mean, that to me, those are all factors that I think are real with Tua. So if somebody passes on Tua, it'll just be if he's great and he's never hurt and he becomes the player we think, we'll look at all of these teams as total morons without remembering the moment that we were in. If somebody goes up and takes him and then the injury becomes an issue, we'll stand up and yell at that team and say, how did you not see injuries were an issue? They've always been an issue for Tua Tagovailoa. Thing with Tua is he's incredibly special. He is great. He's not good. He's great. And when you have the opportunity to get a great quarterback, you hope that you're not going to be looking at that opportunity 2 years in a row. Yes. There are certain teams that maybe are looking at it now saying, hey, Trevor Lawrence could be an option for us next year. But right now, if you're not going to get Joe Burrow and you still have the opportunity to get Tua Tagovailoa, you do that all day and you do it every day if you have a need at quarterback. We can look at the Redskins and Chase Young and find reasons why it makes sense. And you can look at the Lions and the fact that they still love Matt Stafford and at least explain why it makes sense. You can get your way down in the draft with the Giants. You can pass them because of Daniel Jones. When you get to the Miami Dolphins, there is no reason why they shouldn't take Tua Tagovailoa at that point. They don't have any other option. Nothing else makes sense. And sometimes the upside is so worth it, you just have to roll the dice. That's where we are. And the obsession from Tua is so simple to figure out. We're obsessed with Tua because he's won, and he's been so great, and he's the variable we can't put our thumb on. He's the player that we can't look at a mock draft right now and give any solid reason why he will or won't go to a certain team. He's the undefined portion of a draft that, frankly, this year feels like the first two or three picks could be incredibly defined. That's why we're so obsessed with Tua Tagovailoa, because it's not just about Tua. It's about what everybody else is going to see. And for the one player that we can't pinpoint, can we start to at least build up some speculation and suspense about what it means for Tua moving forward? That's why when the Redskins are on the clock, it will become, do they want Chase Young or do they not believe in Dwayne Haskins? You know, that'll be their conversation. When the Lions get on the clock, suddenly it's going to be, well, Jeffrey Okuda is a spectacular day one starting possibly Pro Bowl caliber corner in the minds of many. And that's a huge need. Are they going to go that direction and then just stay where they are? Are they going to trade out of that pick? We will see that across the board. Every single pick, Tua will be the conversation piece, because if he's not needed by the team that's there, how badly does somebody else want him? That's the question, and that's why he'll be the obsessive part of the beginning of the NFL draft coverage, which, by the way, you're still going to get to see and hear all over ESPN in just 10 days. So it gives us a little sneak at some level of normalcy. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Been asking you guys to get your take on what NFL players' quarantine party would you want to be invited to? Yes, we're having a little fun. I understand quarantine parties are serious. Let's have a little fun and just imagine in a beautiful world they're not quite as serious. You're getting the invite this on the heels of Dak having a party that he shouldn't have had over the course of the weekend. Suddenly getting some tweets for Travis Kelce. And Dan says, I'm surprised there's not more mentions of Travis Kelce. If I'm quarantined with someone, it has to be him. Hashtag fun don't stop. I'm not sure you get to use hashtags when you party with him, but still. Dennis Richard says, Michael Irvin from his playing days. I think we know what that means for Dennis and where he wants to party during quarantine. Now, Jason says, former Jay Cutler, we wouldn't say a word to each other and both be perfectly happy. Best party ever. Current Drew Brees with those pregame huddle chants he leads. There's no way we'd lose at any party boy. So, party game. So I love that. I threw my vote out online for Harry Douglas because Harry Douglas is my guy and I've been looking at all his food videos, but that made me start thinking I got a left of center pick here. Jarrell Casey, former Tennessee Titan, great guy. Everybody loves Jarrell Casey, but here's the real of it. All right. I get to hang out with Jarrell Casey for a day. This is a random fun fact about Jarrell. He is a vegan with one exception. He still eats fish, which is exactly the same thing that I do. So he's got personal chefs. I figure if I get to quarantine party with Jarrell Casey, maybe through it, I can learn some fancy new recipes. And then you can like walk out with like recipe cards to add to your recipe. Like I've become that lame. Like now I'm suddenly breaking down who I want a quarantine party with based on who I can get recipes with so that I can continue to try and maximize my quarantine. This is sad. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You tell me, what NFL players' quarantine party would you want to be invited to? Also getting a lot of tweets for Gronk. That surprises nobody. We'll keep getting some of your take on it. You can tweet me coming up too, at Jason Fitz. Coming up, though, Rudy Gobert clearly mishandled the beginning of this pandemic. The question is, what will that force the Jazz to do next? Some great breakdown from First Take. That's coming up. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can give us your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how we take your take. If you missed the first hour of the show today, go check it out. It's on demand. That's right. We got a podcast. First Take, Your Take podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. Now, we'll get back into Dak Prescott and some of the Cowboys conversation from the course of today. But there was also an NBA conversation on First Take today. And there was an NBA conversation specifically about the Utah Jazz. Reports are out that Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert have a fractured relationship that may not be repairable. In fact, Rudy may be traded as a result. So can they manage to rebridge that gap and move forward? Stephen A. talked about today whether or not Rudy Gobert should be cut some slack and how Donovan Mitchell is reacting to the corona mistake that sort of lords over the Jazz in the NBA season.
Donovan Mitchell's entitled to feel any way he wants to, because like I told you, he's one of the better dudes you'll ever meet. No question about it. He's a real good dude. But the flip side to it, again, if there is still any kind of rift, it's likely because Donovan Mitchell and others inside that locker room expressed, previously to Rudy Gobert, yo, man, we not playing. This is serious. Stop playing around. And he kept playing around and was dismissive of their feelings leading up to Donovan Mitchell contracting the coronavirus. That might be the issue. Outside of that, I can't imagine any circumstances under which Donovan Mitchell would still hold a beef with Rudy Gobert. He's a real good brother. And in fairness to Rudy Gobert, again, when he made the mistake, we all got on him because it was immature and it was insensitive, and we all know that. But since that time, he has embraced the level of seriousness that it deserves, and he has done all he could to make amends for it. And if we're decent human beings, just accept that and move forward.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. One thing we have to understand is that we're aware of one action, right? And so that one action doesn't always allow for a lot of context. Do we really know that Rudy Gobert was the one that gave everybody coronavirus, or did somebody else give Rudy Gobert coronavirus? We'll never know. What we do know is that Rudy Gobert was the one that was acting sort of casual and nonchalant about the entire thing. He was the one that was being, air quotes, that guy. And we all know that guy as he walked around and sort of wiped everything he possibly could just to make his own statement. He made a jerk of himself, right? We can all agree on that. That's pretty easy. Aside from that, when you move past that, now what? We don't know what the rest of the actions have been. If this is just one isolated incident of Rudy Gobert making the wrong decision, hopefully time bridges that gap and the team forgives him. If this is yet another example of Rudy Gobert acting selfishly, immaturely in a way that has impacted the team, then it becomes the straw that breaks the camel's back. Without some level of understanding to the rest of what is going on behind the scenes, I'm not sure we can really understand the difficulty in trying to repair their relationship. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Eric in Cleveland, we've been asking everybody if you could get to any, quarantine party from an NFL player, who would it be? What you got?
I got Johnny Manziel with champagne and swans, baby.
Oh, man. Eric, so tell me, like, you're comfortable walking into Johnny Manziel's place knowing that, you know, it's going to be an epic night worth putting yourself at risk for.
It's going to be off the hook. If the cops don't come, I'll be disappointed.
Oh, see, that there's the quote of the day. Thanks for your take on it, Eric. I love the thought of, like, if the cops don't come to this thing, I'm bummed. Yes, again, we're having a little fun with it. I understand the severity of it. But if you're going to go to somebody, I do think Johnny Manziel is a good concept on that one. Pete in North Carolina, you want to give us some of your take. Pete, what are you giving us your take on?
I just want to have something to say about the Redskins, how they never do anything right in the draft, no matter what. And I'd like to see if they would hold Miami's feet to the fire and force them, just say, we're going to take Tua. That's it. And you got to pay. And they don't have to take a whole lot, but they should get something. They should get something. And the ideal thing is to trade with Detroit. Let Detroit send Stafford to New England, and then let New England and them give us each, you know, couple seconds, maybe a couple thirds, and we move back to third. We still get Chase Young. And if it's the big party that you want to go to, old school, Artie Donovan from the Colts.
Oh, look at that. And by the way, I love your draft concept, but a couple of things on your draft concept. I don't want Matt Stafford going to New England because, I mean, the fact is, dude can play, right? So the Patriots would get a quarterback that can still play at a high level, you know. So that one scares me a little bit. But the idea, the concept of actually drafting Tua just to force the Dolphins to give you a king's ransom is at least an interesting one. I just think we're sleeping on Chase Young. And, you know, a couple of college football analysts I trust gave me the phrase, better than Bosa's, either of the Bosa's. And if you could add somebody today to that defensive line that can get after the quarterback that's better than either of the Bosa's, to me, that's a level of immediate impact that you can't ignore. We can't become so quarterback obsessed that we forget that by many metrics, the best player in this draft, according to many analysts, is actually Chase Young. He doesn't happen to be a quarterback, so he doesn't get as much shine. But Chase Young is supposed to be an immediate star in the NFL. I'm not sure that the Redskins wouldn't regret passing on an immediate star, at least in the interim. We'll keep taking more of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Speaking of QB continued, the Redskins have some big decisions to make. We'll hear from someone close to the team on what they're doing next.